Kia ora whānau. Lovely to see you all here today, and especially if you are new or newer amongst us, I want to especially add a really warm welcome to you. I wonder if anyone's sort of getting into the whole, election thing that's going on. Anyone watch the national, the Labour national leaders debate on TV this week? Oh, I did. In it, they talked about some of the country's laws and how they should be applied today. And fortunately for you and for me, I'm not talking about politics. But back in Jesus' day, there were many, many laws that people lived by. They believed these commands that they lived by came from God. And we can appreciate this as the Old Testament authors were discovering who this God was and what this God was like, and they tried to capture what God was like through these laws. Now, one of these commands in the Old Testament had a huge impact on how people lived in Jesus' day. And it came from Deuteronomy chapter 7. So this passage was set about roughly 1,400 years, a long time, before Jesus' time. Okay? And it was when the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, their descendants, had fled slavery in Egypt, and they needed a new place to live. Okay, so and this is the story, this is the command, this law that we're going to think a little bit about today. Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's hard going. The Lord your God will bring you into the land that you are going to occupy, and he will drive many nations out of it. As you advance, he will drive out seven nations larger and more powerful than you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivitites, and the Jebusites. When the Lord your God places these people in your power and you defeat them, you must put them all to death. Do not make an alliance with them or show them any mercy. Do this because you belong to the Lord your God. From all the people on earth, he chose you to be his own special people. Oh, I just want to get rid of that. We'll go back to that one. So God commands Joshua in this passage to kill the seven Canaanite nations. They must be shown no mercy. This is deeply disturbing stuff, isn't it? A deeply disturbing set of commands. The violence, the genocide, the favoritism. Surely God is better than this. So whilst there's horrific content in this text, I actually want to focus on how these words were deeply influential in shaping the cultural attitudes of Jewish people in Jesus' day. If you lived outside of Judah, you were viewed as a non-Jew, a Gentile. You were looked down on, you were treated with contempt, and even if you took on Jewish belief and life, you were excluded from full participation in worship. You couldn't enter certain parts of the temple. Now, Jesus had been doing his thing, teaching people, healing people, doing miracles, when he surprisingly decides to walk out of his way and head north, and out of the country, out of Judah. I'm going to read the story from Matthew chapter 15. But I'd really like a little bit of help with it. So I'm wondering if we might have some people who might be able to just act out the story as it's read. And there'll be little things up on the screen like this. So I'm wondering, I should have got a better image, shouldn't I? Hey. So do we have a couple of disciples, maybe? A Jesus, a woman, and then I've got two non-speaking parts. One's a dog. One is a table. So I need someone to plank for a couple of minutes. Any takers? Oh, good. Come on up. Come on up. What parts do you guys want to be? You can choose. You'll be anyone. Okay. You want to be the dog? Okay, great. Yep. Who else? We need some more actors. Can anyone plank? Down on their hands and their toes, hold their. Oh. Sean Zell, I reckon you could do that. No, not keen. Bane, no. Oh my goodness! Any takers? Okay, Well, I don't know how we're going to do this. Oh, thank you, Judy. Oh, thank you, Jacob. Thank you. That's great. Are you going to play? Oh, I shouldn't say what I was going to say. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I was just going to point out the specimen that is Jacob. Right, okay, here we go. Now, who's going to be the dog? Now, for the dog, I've got dog ears. You want them on your ears or your hair?
My hair.
Oh, okay, here we go. There we go. Oh, that's nice. Ears. Now, I was a bit slack with the other props this morning. I forgot about it and I forgot to pull them out in time. Now, we need a table. Who's going to be a table?
Jacob.
Here we go. You can dive down there. Now, the dog needs to be at the table. Okay, so here we go. Here's the tablecloth. Thank you. That's it. Coffee table. Okay, here we go. Connor, how about you be Jesus? Judy, you can be this woman here. Okay, and those are your lines to start with. Jesus, you have some lines up there that'll pop up as well. We also need a disciple. Just one person could do both disciples. You can just sit there and do it from there if you want. Okay, thank you, Aaron. Okay, so Jesus, want you to start over here. And disciple, you can be over there. Thank you. Yes, okay, so here we go. Jesus, you can start over there, and I want you to listen and just act out. Here we go, here we go. We'll see if this works. Okay, here we go. Jesus went off to the territory near the cities of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman who lived in that region came to him and desperately and loudly called out,
"Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon and is in a terrible, terrible condition."
But Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples came to him and begged him with these words here.
"Send her away. She is following us and making all this noise."
Then Jesus said to the woman,
"I have been sent only to the lost sheep of Israel."
At this, the woman came and fell at his feet, saying,
"Help me, sir."
But Jesus condescendingly said,
"It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs."
Without missing a beat, the woman shot back at Jesus.
"That's true, sir, but even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table."
Jesus was very impressed, declaring to the woman,
"You are a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you."
And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, table. The thing that stands out most glaringly to me in this story is Jesus' harsh words. After the disciples yet again try to use their power, like we looked at last week, to put up barriers to others meeting Jesus, Jesus himself calls this vulnerable woman a dog, implying that she's not good enough for God's care and God's help. It seems Jesus is a merciless man of his day, treating this female foreigner with biblical bashing based on Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's a surface reading, but there's so much more to this story. Did you notice the woman asked for the one thing that her ancestors, the Canaanites, were denied? The one thing. Mercy. Mercy for her daughter who was suffering and in great need. Mercy is choosing to do good when we could choose to do nothing or choose to do something harmful. And after the woman pushes back on Jesus, he suddenly declares her to be a woman of great faith and heals her daughter. What's more, he then moves into other non-Jewish areas north of Judah, and he starts healing people. We're told that in this time he did a similar miracle from when he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 Jewish men plus women and children and ended up with 12 baskets of leftovers, probably connected with thinking of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in this non-Jewish setting that Jesus now moves to, he does another really similar miracle. He feeds 4,000 people. And how many baskets does he have left over? 7. So what on earth is this all about? It seems to me that because Jesus chooses to walk north out of Israel, say these harsh words to the woman, and then show her mercy, and then go on to love and care for people in non-Jewish areas, that Jesus is enacting a parable. That's one way to see this text. He's enacting a parable. He's showing through his actions what is going on with religious people, and then showing a new and better way forward. He's holding up a mirror to help religious people, to help us see ourselves more clearly. So here's what's going on. Jesus introduces the attitudes of the religious people and how he initially talks to the Canaanite woman. He shows mercy to the foreigner when the religious laws said to show no mercy. Jesus spends more time with the foreigners expressing love and care. Jesus has 7 baskets of life-giving nourishment left over from his feeding miracles, representing the 7 Canaanite tribes that were to be shown no mercy and destroyed in the Deuteronomy text. Jesus then warns his disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees. We haven't got time to look at that passage, but he goes on to warn the disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees, the religious people who think they are God's special people, entitling them to exclude others. They are warned. Jesus once again takes the Old Testament and radically reinterprets it to be in line with the true heart of God. A micro issue of an uncomfortable text shouldn't be given anywhere near as much weight as story after story of Jesus' radical love and inclusion. One Bible reading shows rejection, exclusion, harm. Another shows mercy, nurture, protection of life, and affirmation. Understandings of God change. Jesus shows us God's way. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for change. We thank you that just as spring is emerging from the cold wetness of winter, that we too are not once what we were. Your life and your spirit are in us, drawing us, wooing us towards love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Help us keep growing in these Christ-like ways. We thank you for your inspired scriptures, which point us to your fullness revealed in Jesus. May his life and teaching help us challenge what needs to be challenged and to imagine and create a more loving future. And God, in this time, let's pause now to consider and ask for the courage and strength of this outsider Canaanite woman. And let's pause now to consider and ask that we embrace mercy as we walk towards others. Amen. Eh?